Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the New in Chess podcast, a podcast that is brought to you by DGT, the number one producer of chess clocks in the world. My name is Alex Polak, and I am one of the hosts of the New in Chess podcast. My guest today is Grandmaster Robby Kevleashvili. Robby is a student at St. Louis University, where he also represents him on the collegiate chess circuit. He's done so for many years, and him and his teammates have been quite successful, to say the least. And he's here joining us all the way from St. Louis, where it's 7 hours earlier than here. Good morning, Robby. How are you? It's good to have you.
Good afternoon, Alex. I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good. So before we dive deeper into your personal experience in the city as a strong player, I'm just for the people that are not familiar with collegiate athletics in the United States, can you explain what exactly does it mean to play chess for a university in the US?
Yeah, so in the US, it's actually quite common that international students come to the US to play a sport. Usually it's like basketball or soccer or something like that. But I think starting like 2014, they started doing the same thing for chess. And St. Louis University started in 2016. I didn't really know about it until 2018. And then in 2019, I decided that I wanted to be a part of it because I also finished high school at that time. And I just got a scholarship to play chess, a couple tournaments in a year. There are some other details in the deal as well. I'm mainly a student and also a chess player still.
Okay, right. So that perfectly leads me into my next question. So how does that happen for you? You were a young talent. You were a strong international master when you finished high school. You were well on your way to becoming a grandmaster. Everybody knew that. But you were living in the Netherlands. There are good universities in Europe. There are strong tournaments in Europe. Why St. Louis? Is it just because of the scholarship, or was there another reason that you wanted to go there?
Over the years, I think in the chess world, everybody kind of knows that St. Louis is the place to be for chess. And I finished high school in 2018, and I wasn't completely sure what I wanted to do. So I wanted to take a gap year to become a GM. That didn't happen in that year. But I also talked to Benjamin Bock, a fellow Dutch grandmaster who joined here in 2018.
Yeah.
And he told me about the opportunity, and I thought, for me, that would be kind of perfect because I don't know what I want to do with school. But I still want to play chess, especially because I, at the time, was not a grandmaster yet. I thought it would be a good way to combine everything, which I think went well.
Okay, so it was Benjamin who sort of vouched for you, or did you just apply to St. Louis and they said, come on, we'll take you?
He was definitely a big part of my process of coming there.
Yeah, okay, sure. That's great. Great. Okay, well, so you've been there for many years now. You're in your fourth season, if I'm correct, at SLU's fifth. Okay, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've been there for a few years. You've been winning prizes, tournaments, but you've also been studying. How do you combine your obligations as a chess player with your studies?
I have to say it will be more difficult depending on what kind of bachelor's you choose. I did finance and mathematics, but I know people that do computer science or people that do like that are med students. For them, it's definitely a lot more rigorous. But for me, I think school is something I'm pretty good at. And professors are also pretty lenient. If you do well in their classes, they will allow you to, you know, take time off classes as long as you do the work in your own time.
Right. Because obviously there must for, if you're representing the university in one of their varsity sports, let alone chess in St. Louis, surely there are some professors who are willing to make an exception or two when it comes to your academics. That makes sense. But I mean, still a finance degree, it's no walk in the park. Was it easily feasible for you to do?
Yeah, there were definitely moments where it's more difficult, where I have to work a little bit harder. But overall, I think it was quite easily feasible. Also, I should probably point out, in the US, the bachelor's is 4 years instead of, for example, in the Netherlands,
right,
3 years.
Yeah.
And here, there are a lot, you start specializing in your major much later. So the first 2 years, for example, I did classes that are not really related to finance at all.
Yeah. It's a liberal arts and science program.
Yeah, you have to take some, I took like philosophy classes.
Okay, but so, ultimately you did land on finance, and now you're doing an MBA. So you, those two do seem related. How do you envision, well, sort of the continuation of your chess in combination with your well, whatever business career you might want to have one day?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the unfortunate thing about chess is that you can never really quit. So I think I'll always be in some way playing chess or busy with chess. But I also think that at my level, I'm not at the level where I can live off of just playing chess. So I, especially because I have this opportunity to, you know, get an education, higher education as well.
Yeah, of course.
That I should, you know, I should use it in some capacity.
Okay. And have you thought about, obviously, right, your, I checked your rating because they just came out today. You're at 25-30. Obviously, that doesn't make you like a super, super duper GM. But it is strong enough to at least, you know, become a coach, become a trainer, become a, maybe a content creator. Is that something that you might want to build off of based on your career at SLU?
I am a coaching actually at this moment. Ah. So if anybody wants to take classes for me, go ahead.
Like you're doing private coaching?
Yes.
Okay.
But I'm mainly, currently I'm still playing a lot of tournaments. I play like one tournament every month pretty much.
Yeah,
so it's kind of difficult to do anything on the side. I don't really want to be a content creator because I feel like the grinding you have to do for that is completely different than the grinding mm-hmm. you have to do be a chess player.
Yeah,
which is not something I want to sacrifice.
Fair enough. So you already touched upon it, you're playing tournaments. I looked a little bit into all the competitions that you guys play at SLU, and I tried to make sense of it, but it's really all over the place. It goes from classical to online, blitz, rapid. You guys really, really do everything. So how many leagues are you currently still playing in on behalf of SLU?
I think for this semester we're done, or for this season we're done.
Okay.
The main thing with collegiate chess is that there's this tournament at the end of the year. It's called the Pan American Championship.
Right.
So all the universities in the U.S., that have a strong team or have a team will mm-hmm. go there. And then the goal is to reach the top four, because the top four will qualify to the final four is what it's called, which is the national championship. And the winner of that is the national champion, which is kind of the goal for all right. these collegiate programs.
Yeah. yeah. And you and your teammates have achieved this how many times?
Well, we have qualified to the final four a couple times. But we've won it once. It was in 2022. I was part of the team.
22, right. Okay. Yeah. But there are several more competitions, right? There are, well, definitely faster paced tempos yeah. and things. Or do you just do those on your own behalf?
Yeah. So we also play it's called the Collegiate Chess League, which is
right.
On chess.com. It's once a week.
Right. That's the one that yep. you guys win every year, right?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, yeah,
our
yeah,
team
yeah,
is pretty
yeah.
good at online blitz.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we've won that four times now, the last three times in a row. Yeah, we take pride in that also, because our classical this year didn't go
right.
as we hoped. But yeah, we're definitely good at that. There are also other rapid and blitz tournaments that just pop up once in a while. We never really know. Every year there's a new tournament organized and we just play and then see how it goes.
Okay, and when you say we, you do mean you and your teammates at St. Louis University. Are there strict rules as to which tournaments you're allowed to partake in? Are you allowed to play outside tournaments? Is that something that was maybe stipulated in your scholarship agreement? How does that work?
Mm-hmm. So these tournaments that I mentioned, those are pretty, I don't want to say mandatory, but they are, you know, you should play them, especially the classical ones. You really have to play those. But outside, you can kind of plan your own tournaments, which is what I do. So at the beginning of every semester, we tell our coach, hey, I want to play this tournament, I want to play this tournament. And then usually it gets approved. And then SLU will organize travel, logistics, all things like that. And then we go play the tournaments on our own.
Right. So you mentioned your coach. You guys have some pretty, pretty strong coaches. What exactly is their role in preparing you guys? Is it just basically the role of a second? Do you look at openings? Do you prepare for specific opponents? How active or how big a part of your preparation do they facilitate?
Yeah, so we have two coaches, actually. We have our head coach, Vara Kobia, and then we have our assistant coach, Darius Svirch. And he, Darius is more the person who we talk about with chess, about chess openings. If we are at a tournament, he does most of like assistance with preparation. And Var is, he used to be our assistant coach, but now he's more the, he's kind of the manager. He talks to the university if there's something we need. But he still comes around to play Blitz sometimes or have some trainings. But the focus of chess is more on the assistant coach.
It's more, okay, right. He's more of the in-depth chess, like the technicals.
Exactly.
Right. So I want to go back because I skipped the question about sort of the collegiate campus life. You already mentioned St. Louis. It's arguably the chess capital of the world. It's a legendary chess city. Even before Rex Singfield came around, it was already a big a chess city. How is chess viewed on your campus or even in the city as a whole? Is it, do you get recognized on the street? Is it something, are people playing in every park? How is it something that is really followed closely by the community?
I'm always a bit surprised when I'm walking on campus and I tell people that I play chess and then they know that our chess team is good. I feel like we go under the radar, which is understandable, because sports in general is not really the biggest focus of this university, let's say. But in the city, people know that chess is like big here. They don't really understand why. But if you go to like the center where the big chess club is, everybody knows about chess. I mean, there's the biggest chess piece in the world is there. Yeah. So it's like hard to miss. But yeah, also now we have so many strong players that live in St. Louis. So if you walk on the street around that area, you will probably see some strong chess players.
So you already touched upon it, the St. Louis Chess Club, also legendary. What are there close ties between the university and the club?
Yeah, so it's like it's very close to where I live. It's a 25-minute walk or like a eight-minute Uber, for example. And they have weekly tournaments, small rapid tournaments, and sometimes I just played a tournament. It's called, they do the, like the seasonal classics is what it's called. It's a closed round robin. So yeah, as students of universities, for example, SLU, we get like, if we wanted to play a tournament like that, we have some sort of deal that we can kind of cut the line if we really wanted to play the tournament.
Okay.
You know, because our university and the chess club are kind of connected in a way, because they're both, my scholarship and the chess club are funded by Rex Singfield. So there is, you know, there's this tie together.
Right.
But yeah, there are a lot of tournaments, rapid tournaments, blitz tournaments, you know, very chill tournaments that are not rated.
Yeah.
That you can always play.
Okay. I think this is probably the moment to mention that you and I, we've known each other longer than today, and you have a reputation as a deadly player, especially in faster tempos. These online blitz tournaments, is that really when you, well, shine the most when it comes to your performances at LSU?
Yeah, so I think it's also clear from our results that, you know, in classical, if we play a classical tournament, it's everything's kind of close. Yeah. But if we're playing online, especially online blitz, it's kind of clear that we are kind of dominating, if I may say so.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely think that my blitz is the strongest. Also online, I think there's less pressure if you play online when you're playing a strong opponent, because you don't get intimidated by, for example, Aronian sitting opposite of you.
Right. Is that a factor for you, the intimidation thing? Because, well, this is something that I was going to say for later, but you have played against some really, really strong players. Do you feel that pressure ever? Like, is it more easy for you to play online? And is that maybe one of the reasons that you're so strong at Blitz?
Maybe. I think the strongest players I've played here were like, Caruana, I've played Aronian, I've played Dominguez. I don't necessarily feel much intimidation, but I definitely feel more of the urge to, you know, try to do well, not embarrass myself, maybe stuff like that. So that maybe that's a factor, right. But I don't actively try to think about it.
Yeah. I'm surprised that you didn't mention Gukesh just now. Didn't you play him last year as well?
Yeah, I played him. I played him, and he played Nakamura as well in Qatar.
Oh, right. But you were talking about your games in the US. Right.
Yeah.
Of course.
I meant Blitz games that I played here.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but when I played Hikaru and I played Gukesh, I was more excited to play them. I wasn't feeling any nerves, I think.
Okay.
Which was maybe a bit strange, maybe not a good thing, but I was excited to play them.
Of course. I mean, I would be too. I don't think I'll ever get the chance, but you said you didn't really feel the nerves. Do you feel like maybe that's something that you should have more of that you're lacking, that you're not putting enough pressure on yourself to perform and reach higher in chess?
Maybe. The thing is, against both of them, I had black. There was not really much pressure on me to really show anything.
Right.
But maybe I against Hikaru, I definitely felt like I would have a chance for something.
Yeah.
Maybe against Gukesh, I didn't feel it as much. Maybe that played into it.
Right.
This podcast is brought to you by DGT, the chess innovators. With the DGT electronic chessboard, millions of chess lovers can follow chess tournaments live. At-home chess fans use the boards to play online or play against chess computers with the same boards that top players use in tournaments all over the world. Play like a pro with a DGT board.
Well, we already talked about Rex Singfield. Obviously, he's a major part of the chess boom. Well, in the U.S., but also in St. Louis, and even just the state of Missouri as a whole. I'm not sure which competition it was, but there was one where literally the top three was all Missouri universities, right? It was you guys first, then the University of Missouri, and then Webster or something? Webster.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
In that order, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so. Or it was, yeah, something along those lines.
So. Is that all? Do you ascribe all of that to the influence of Rex, or is that also just a sort of a chain reaction where at some point a city just becomes a hub and all the strong players just go there?
Right. No. So actually, Webster is its completely separate program. I think it's been going on for a lot longer. I don't even know how long.
Okay.
But SLU and the University of Missouri or Mizzou. They are both funded by the St. Louis Chess Club. So those scholarships and those deals are pretty similar. And then you have other programs as well in Texas. I don't know how connected they are, but in Missouri, at least, Mizzou and SLU are similar or have the same like foundation, let's say, and Webster is its own thing.
Okay, Mizzou and SLU, nice. Okay, yeah. And outside of the state of Missouri, what are some of the other really strong unis for chess?
Yeah, so you have University of Dallas, University of Texas at Dallas, and then you have the University of Texas, the Rio Grande Valley is a strong one. I feel like I'm missing a very obvious one. You have the University of Chicago; it's pretty strong as well. I really feel like I'm missing one, but yeah. If I'm missing one, they weren't that big.
Okay. Okay. By any chance, does Jeffrey Chung play for one of those Texas universities or not?
No.
Because he is from there, isn't he?
I think he lives in Dallas, but he's more focused on playing
tournament chess. Yeah. Okay. So Texas and Chicago. What about like Ivy League universities? Do they have chess programs? Do they care? Or
Harvard and Yale, they have, I think, pretty good, or they have some pretty good chess players that go there. But the thing is, if you want all these international students to come to your university, you kind of have to give them a good scholarship.
Yeah.
And for an Ivy League, that's just not something they really do. I think Harvard has no scholarships at all, and it's also quite expensive. So for if you're a chess player, at my level, it really wouldn't make sense to drop that kind of money,
right,
to join the chess team.
Yeah,
it would make sense if you just joined the university and then get a good education out of it, but not to join the chess team, let's say.
Right, because obviously, I mean, American universities are known for being crazy expensive. Basically, if you need a full scholarship to make it, basically, right, in American university chess. Like, they don't do, it's not like they're going to say, we'll give you 20,000 and you have to pay the other 60,000 yourself or whatever. It's, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's pretty safe to say if I didn't get a full scholarship, I would not be coming to the U.S. for school. especially coming from the Netherlands where education is quite affordable.
Exactly, yeah. You also mentioned something about details or stipulations. I'm not sure if you were being intentionally vague about that, but I am curious. Are there any, I don't know, do you get bonuses if you win? Do you, are there, like your academics, for example, let's say you are miserably failing one of your courses. Is there a clause that they can just kick you out and take the scholarship money back? How does stuff like that work?
Yeah, so I think we have to maintain a certain level of grades, which I think everybody's doing. It's doing quite easily. I don't think we've had an instance where somebody has failed so miserably that they really have to sit down with them. But for example, we don't get bonuses, but we can play tournaments on our own. And if we make money, then we can keep it. And we get a monthly stipend just for for covering random expenses. Yeah, besides that, nothing really.
Okay.
Maybe that's why I just mentioned it like that, because there's not too much to it.
Fair enough. I was wondering, maybe there's some I can do some prodding and you'll divulge some crazy details. But there was one guy that you already mentioned. I did too, Benjamin Bok. He's on his last season. What has his influence been on your development and on the program as a whole, would you say?
Yeah, so one of the reasons I wanted to come to SLU is because I wanted to surround myself with people my level and higher, because I think when I came, I was the lowest rated. So, just being able to hang out with them, play chess with them, it's just very accessible, very easy to progress. And, he was also an important part of the team in every competition that we won. Also a good friend. He used to be my neighbor, for example. I used to see him like every single day.
Your neighbor on campus, you mean, or in the Netherlands?
Yeah, so like I have my own apartment, and I could, if I walk out of the door and I look to the right, I'd see like his apartment.
That's nice.
Yeah.
And then when you guys would hang out, would it just be all chess, or are you also, more of a deeper personal
connection? We
because
try.
there is quite an age gap between you guys, right? Maybe, mm-hmm.
no,
I don't know
six
how many years.
Years.
Six years. Okay, I thought it was more about that. Then mm-hmm.
It's not that big of a deal. But also, no. We have other people on the team. We try to, outside of chess, try to hang out, try to do some things.
Yeah. And is that possible? Because obviously there are a lot of expectations from you as a player. You're also doing your studies. Obviously, you're saying the studies weren't that hard, but you still have to combine those two things. But you're also at an American university where you want to enjoy yourself. Is that something that you managed to make time for, or still managed to make time for?
Yeah, definitely. I think if you're a bit smart about your time, you can definitely do fun things, focus on school, and for me also focus on chess.
Yeah, so going back, I know we're going all over the place, but I am curious, like you're focusing on chess, like you're... you have your assistant coach who is doing more of the in-depth analysis for you. What does your training regimen look like concretely? Do you have to be somewhere at 9 every morning? What is it? How does that work?
Yeah, so I mean, of course, with chess, it's mostly individual, and also because our coaches are also working at the club, and there's always a tournament going on at the club.
Yeah,
they don't have as much free time, let's say, but we try to meet them once a week for playing blitz, having concrete questions to discuss. But also because I'm gone a lot for tournaments, I don't see them as much, but I know other people that see them more regularly, once a week, twice a week, stuff like that.
Okay, so it doesn't seem as stringent as, for example, I mean, there's pro football or soccer, I should say, because you're in the US, teams where if you miss a practice, you're on the bench that Saturday, but that's not something that they're not that strict at SLU.
Yeah. Yeah, we used to have group trainings, but they just became too difficult to maintain.
Okay.
But those were mandatory. But yeah, because the coaches are busy themselves and everybody's playing a tournament, everybody has a different schedule.
Yeah.
We've just scrapped those and made it more your own responsibility.
Yeah. Well, I can also imagine that throughout the years, people have become maybe a tad more busy because the game has grown, right? You said you were on your fifth season. So does that mean you joined in 2019 or 20? So that 19, would be, You're 19, so that will be right before the whole, well, the whole COVID, the whole streaming, the whole Queen's Gambit explosion. How have you experienced the chess boom as a player for SLU?
Yeah, actually, for me, the only thing that changed is that I couldn't stay in the US. I decided to go back. So I think March of 2020, I went back to the Netherlands. And then in January of 2021, I came back. But yeah, in the meantime, I was just home like everybody else. And luckily, I was able to play some tournaments in Europe. I'm pretty much doing what I'm doing now. I'm playing some tournaments, doing some classes.
Right. Okay, but that is a very long period that you were not in the US, but you were enrolled, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I took online classes.
Yeah, you took online classes and you played, and you still played all your, or were all the tournaments, were they suspended at the time, or I don't remember.
I think we had a couple online tournaments.
Right.
But yeah, but this how I experienced the chess boom was more afterwards, because now you see all these tournaments. First of all, chess.com, you can pretty much play a tournament every single day if you wanted to, and they're all good prize money, strong players.
Yeah.
So you're always you can always be busy as much as you want to be.
Random question: how many times have you beaten Magnus?
I don't know if it's a good look if I know the exact number.
Oh wow, okay. That's crazy. I saw one YouTube video where. Or you beat him. It was, I think, a rook and bishop endgame or something where you...
I think I've beaten him on chess.com 3 times.
Okay, that's nice. That's nice.
But yeah, I think, I'm not completely sure.
And how many times have you breached the 3,000 barrier or higher?
Or a couple times.
Or is that just sort of your standard?
I would like to think it is my standard. I think now I dropped a bit lower.
Okay.
But I think on a good day, if I'm playing consistently, 3,000 should not be too difficult.
Nice. What's your favorite tempo?
On chess.com, 3+0 for sure. But if you mean in person, I don't know what you meant.
Yeah, I guess online. Yeah, I mean in person, I don't think you would ever reach a FIDE blitz rating of 3,000. That doesn't seem.
No, that doesn't would be seem. Nice.
would be nice. It doesn't seem feasible. No. Now, but now that we are on the topic of ratings, though, there is a separate American rating, right? The USCF rating. I assume, or I'm basically sure, all of your games are both USCF and FIDE rated, right? But is there, are there special? Because, for example, I know in the US there are all these different titles. Like you can become a national master, you can become all of that stuff. Are there extra distinctions that you can achieve if you reach a certain playing strength in USCF numbers?
I think National Master is the only thing that is different in the US.
Oh, really?
I'm not completely sure, to be honest.
Okay.
But yeah, we do have USCF ratings, but nobody really, I don't know what my USCF rating is.
Really? You have no idea? Okay. That was going to be my next question. Like it might be 2,800 for you. Who knows? Right. I mean,
I think it's usually like around 100 points higher than
100 points. Are. Okay. Right.
You know, maybe 50 to 100 points, something like that.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Well, Robbie, thank you very much for these 30 minutes. This was very enjoyable. I hope, we enriched our listeners and our watchers with some insight into what it's like to play collegiate chess, especially in the city of St. Louis. Thank you very much, Robbie. I hope we can talk again soon. I hope I can maybe talk to one of your teammates or friends soon, and see you next time.
All right. No problem. Take care.
See you. Bye, Robbie.